This is his last week. This is his wife, Nancy, behind us, if you want to turn and wave at her so she feels like she's welcome. Great stuff. If you want your picture taken with Chris, or Chris, it's an extra $20.
Should I use this?
Surely.
Do I need it?
Probably not.
I think I won't.
That's working out.
We're
yeah.
You fix it.
Good morning, Bethany.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hear that ring in your ears?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's just working. Man, I'm so glad to have been here with you. A few weeks ago, we did a little hiatus in Florida and enjoyed ministry down there with the church I served in Fort Pierce. Had a wonderful time. But it's good to be back to cold, frigid Ohio as well. We've been on a journey talking about the Apostle Peter's life, based upon the book that I did, a little devotional book called Choosing What Matters. If you want to grab a copy of that, the church graciously provided those for you. The journey has included sensing Peter's calling. Let me turn that down just a little bit. I've got kind of a big voice. Thanks. And he began when Jesus said, hey, follow me. I'm going to make you something. More than you could ever think of. I will make you something. Jesus did that in that three-year tenure, following him, giving him a sense of character, moving him beyond his extroverted, spontaneous, impulsive, leadership capacity type dude, Peter, to one of the instigators of the early church. Filled with his spirit, moved by grace, he was used by the Lord in great ways. That was week number two. What was the mission? Mission was to make disciples, to go, to preach, to teach, to make disciples. So today I want you to just think with me for the next few moments about, okay, so where do we go from here? Bethany friends, where do we go from here? And how do we know when we're going to get there? Great question, right? What's God's dream for this place? You're fulfilling it. I've seen that happen. And it's exciting. I've been around the yearly meeting for a while, and it's neat to see where we are, where you're going today. So I want to kind of close out with six things today that are metrics, that are qualifiers from the book, from Scripture, that talk about how we know when we are fulfilling God's mission. For us as a church, when you look around outside, as I was looking around coming in, houses, the fields, the people that need to hear about Jesus. Maybe some of those are here today. You're here. And you get the opportunity to hear about what Jesus can do in your life. How do we know when we're succeeding in our mission? The answer is yes. We know when we're succeeding based upon the following things. We're going to hit six things today. Being people of prayer, people of the word, people of goodness and witness, hospitality, and people that are help, willing to help out at hand to people around that need help. So if you've got the sheet, that's under point two, spiritual disciplines. That is habits that, again, are just kind of like a scoreboard of how are we doing in these categories as a church? More importantly, as individuals, because you are the church. How many know you're called to ministry? If you're a believer today, you are called to ministry. Using your gifts, your abilities. And we often think just ministry is like the really smart people, the PhDs, the Bill Quigleys in life, you know, and stuff like that, right? It's just for those missionaries. Or pastors. No, it's for every one of us who proclaim that Jesus saved me by his grace. He was buried, he rose again, and empowers me by his spirit and gives me a vision for who I am, back to Peter, and what he wants me to be and do. So we look first of all today at the concept of being a prayer. And the question I'm going to keep asking is, if this church, everybody in this church were like me in terms of their prayer life, first of all, how well would we be doing? Peter was a man of prayer. He prayed, the Spirit came, and he was used by God in many ways to pray for people, delivering them from physical problems, mental problems, spiritual problems. In Acts chapter 9, you have your scripture, you want to turn there, your device, it's in the book on pages 45 and following. We talk about a lady named Dorcas. Anybody here named Dorcas?
No.
Okay. Good biblical name. I've known some Dorcases. It's Tabitha, and the Greek is Dorcas. She was always doing, according to Acts 9:36, there in Joppa, good. Underscore the word good. And helping the poor. About that time, though, Peter experienced, she became sick and died. And her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men and urged him, please come at once. You get the picture? This is a widow, probably, who had quite an impact because she did good things, right? She prayed and was ministering to the poor, particularly other widows. And when she dies, they call Peter because he's close by. Peter shows up, he prays up, and he says, Dorcas, get up. And it happened. Acts chapter 9 records this, verse 40. Peter sent them out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and he prayed. I'm going to stop there. I'm so encouraged. I spend time with Bill. And he tells me about the prayer time we have that are rich in terms of just encouraging one another, worshiping and praying for the needs of the body. That's vital. A healthy church is a praying church. That's what's happening here is Peter looked at this lady, turning toward a dead woman, he said, Tabitha, get up. It's interesting, the same phraseology is used in the Greek language when Jesus said to Jairus' daughter, get up. It wasn't, oh Lord, if it be thy will, I pray that the, you know, that kind of thing. It was, get up. And she did. He took her by the hand, helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. What's the result of that? What's the result of prayer? Healing, certainly. Resurrection, yes. But this became known all over Joppa, all over Wadsworth, and many people believed in the Lord. Let us be known, that first metric, as people who believe that God is engaged in our lives and responds to us when we pray. When we intercede, we just see a need, when we reach out, when we act and say, Lord God, we need your help. How many know that? Without the Lord's help, we're zero. Without the Lord's intervention, we're nothing. Oh God, help us to see in public settings, in private settings, in spontaneous settings, where we just kind of lift a person up in the Spirit, that God, you're attentive to your people in prayer. How many know in our nation's time right now, we need to be people of prayer, praying for the nation, leadership, Democrats, Republicans, independents. I don't care who they are, we need to pray. God's word calls us to that. And as we pray, God gets involved. He changes us and then uses us to change other people. So that's number one. How are we doing in that? If everybody prayed like I prayed, how would we be doing? You know, it's interesting to me that Peter, early in his ministry, Mark chapter 1, you don't have to turn there. Just let me tell the story. Jesus gets away early in the morning to pray. He and the Father are in communion with one another, right? He values that. Nobody else is around. And as he prays, all of a sudden, it's Peter's hometown. Peter comes and, Jesus, what are you doing? How you doing, man? Come on. You know what? CNN's out there. Fox News is out there. The things are happening. People are being saved and healed. And Lord, there's more to do out there. Let's get going, Lord. Come on. Peter's praying. Jesus is praying. And he kind of nods his head. I don't know if it was an eye-rolling moment, though. It may have been. I don't know. Jesus, oh, come on, Pete. This is early. Pete's not there yet, right? He says, no, Peter, we're going to do this. And they go from the hometown to another area where people need to hear. So prayer directs us in terms of ministry. Who are we? What's our mission? What's our vision? How do we get there? Lord, we need your wisdom, power. We need your eyes, right? Open our eyes. That's a good song to sing, though. We want to see Jesus. But then there's a second thing we want to talk about today. If you have the sheet, you'll notice that we need to be people of word. Pages 54, 56 in the book. I'm going to look at in Peter's first letter. Is Peter an old guy when he writes this? Yeah. 65 or so AD. Peter's probably in his 60s. Been serving the Lord 30 years plus 3 that he was with him. He's an older guy. Nero's in charge. The world system. The world is a mess then. Christians being persecuted, killed for sport. People are losing things. They're aging out. It's hard time. I know we don't know anything about hard times, right, in our culture, in our world, right? That's our time today. So we need to be directed by God's word. We need to hunger after that. That's what Peter says in his first letter, again, chapter 1, verses 22 and following. He says, this is the word that was preached to you in verse 2:1, it continues, therefore rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Now it's easy to do that and say they need to do that, right? Yeah, Lord, get it. Yeah. It's telling us to personally apply that truth. Because we battle that stuff. Those cravings of the flesh. Instead, he's saying, like newborn babes, crave spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. So taste and see, the Lord is good. How do babies grow?
Fast.
Fast. They got to eat. They got to have milk, formula, whatever. And when they're hungry, what do? They cry out. Let you know they need something, right? So as we think about the ministry of the word here, it's important to individually have a life that's focused on the word that says, this is your direction for me, not my opinions or my preferences. I think the carpet ought to be red. I think it ought to be green. What's the Bible say? Yeah, the Bible says red, like the blood, right? Yeah. Nice, I like it. Thank you. It's not, I want to get what I want. I want my preference versus the conviction of God's word. God's word says this. We need to be people of the word. God blesses that in our ministry. It's how we know his will. And that's, again, Jesus' example for us. Studying the word early when Peter comes knocking. So Peter's in the afternoon of life. He's saying, look, guys, let's be people of the word. Do you have a time with God where you just say, Lord, speak to me through your word? I'm going to focus on it. I'm going to meditate on it. I'm going to see what it says. I'm going to ask what it means. And I'm going to say, okay, Lord, so what do I do? Individually, that's vital. Coming together, as you'll see in a minute, it's important to do that together. Appreciate the fact that Bill's in the Word when he preaches and teaches. It's Scripture. Not every church, can I just say that? Not every ministry is grounded on the Word of God. There are a lot of heretics out there that are just kind of preaching, hey, whatever you want, you know, name it, claim it, you know, you got this, you got that. hope I'm not stepping on toes, but then again, if I am, check the Bible. What does the Word say? What does God's Word say? As we think about the Word, we want to move next and say, how does that affect me? Lord, first of all, in terms of my time with you, studying your Word, your direction. And then that moves to the next area, which is our purpose, pages 54 through 56 in the book. In the scripture, we're going to look at 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, if you want to turn there. One of my favorite passages of scripture. The device, you want to get in the device, it's printed in the book. It talks about how to share our faith, right? Serving his purpose. But you, verse 9, chapter 2, 1 Peter, verse 9, are a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You're a priest. You guys, if you're a believer today in Christ, you've been saved by his grace, by his blood, you're a minister. The priesthood of the believers is the theological term. Everybody here that's a believer, you're a minister. It's not just the elder's job to do the ministry. It's not just the pastor's job, the guest poopa speaker's job to do the ministry. It's our job together, corporately. You are priest, Peter is saying. That's who we are. We talked about character and who we are early on in this study. So that, those words are important, underline. So that, that's a purpose-filled, what would you call that, Bill? Conjunction, purpose-filled direction. So that what? You may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. I saw the light. Once you were not a people, Peter says, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Recipients of mercy. It's all a grace. It ain't you. It's not me. He chose to call us to have his Holy Spirit come alive in us and prompt us to that point of repentance, of faith. If you're not there yet, I pray that we will encourage through the power of God's Word and Spirit, help you to think through whether you need to respond to that. Even today, it's an honest prayer. Lord God, I'm not where you want me to be, but I want to fulfill my purpose so that I can declare what you have done in my life. You have a testimony? Share it. Peter later says in chapter 3, make Jesus Lord of your life. My paraphrase, okay? Make sure that if you're talking in a suffering time, this persecuted time, make sure that Jesus is in charge. That he's Lord of all, in spite of all. Then he continues. And then be prepared. To what, Bill? Give an answer. To give an answer, to give a reason for the hope you have. The interesting thing about that word reason in chapter 3, verse 15, is it's apologia in Greek language. It just means apologetics. You need to be able to defend the faith, know what you believe, why you believe, and how to share it. And Bill will talk to you after the service how to do that. Amen. So three things that we need to do in terms of purpose. Presence, number one, am I living the life? Is Jesus Lord, number one? People will see it now, but that's not enough. Sometimes they say, well, they'll just see I'm a Christian by my good works and by just the great person that I am. Well, you probably are, but that's not enough, right? Next has to be proclamation. Old guy Ashley used to say, Dean Munson, you know, either the witness kills the silence, or the silence kills the witness. You got to articulate it. You got to share it. And then when somebody says, well, I don't get that, I don't understand that, you can tell, well, this is why. This is why you need Jesus. And if you don't know, it's okay to say, well, I don't know, but I'll figure it out, and we'll talk later. Presence, proclamation, and then sharing the reason, the purpose for our faith. I mean, that's why Jesus came. Heard an old rocker last night and went to a concert, Randy Stonehill. That guy's 74 years old, man, still rocking and rolling for Jesus. And he shared, you know, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He came to seek and to save the lost, and that's what his people need to be about. Being people that are faithful and fruitful to that end. Are you in on that? If everybody's desire and willingness to share what's inside, not everybody's the same, we don't share it the same way. It was like mine here at this church. How evangelistic would we be? How bold would we be? What would be happening? We'd see people coming to faith in Christ because we're intentionally declaring who Jesus made us to be. Does that make sense? So I've got on the back sheet out in the back a little guideline called Who is Your One? If you're a believer this morning in this thing, you need to be asking that question. Who is your one? That is, who are you investing in, sharing with that's not yet a believer? And you know, you might want to invite them to church here. It's a pie Sunday. Right? What a great time to invite. You know, come and you'll hear not only an encouraging word from the Bible, but you'll be able to get new friends. Investing in relationship, inviting. We'll talk in a minute more a little bit about that. You know, but right now, the question we have is, what's the strategy? What's your strategy? I'm going to give you an acronym, a little acrostic. BLESS. B-L-E-S-S. Real simple. You're looking around, first of all, in your neighborhood, where you work, where you church. Be in prayer. The B is be in prayer. Lord, lead me to somebody today that just needs encouragement. Lead me to someone today that I can share your love with. Some practical. Be in prayer. Who's God? Who's your one? Question number one. And again, there's a sheet in the back that'll help kind of walk you through some of these things. Underneath the attendance. The L is
love.
That's nice, but no.
Listen.
You gotta love too, but yeah, listen. Listen is loving. You like how I did that? Listening is loving. And that implies asking questions, being engaged, interested in a person. Say, tell me more about that, you know?
That's great.
Listen. The next E you'll like. Eating together. Eating. Pie, perhaps. Eating. What does eating mean? Just simply getting together, or coffee, or some lunch, or something like that. Because our defense mechanisms tend to, ask our counselor friend here, tend to go down when we're sharing just together like that, right? Eating together. Sharing life together. Sharing is the last one, but serving is the next S. B-L-E-S is serving. What are practical needs you can reach out and meet and do? And then sharing. Hey, will you do okay if I share what happened to me when I met Jesus? Have you ever thought about that? Asking questions. Listening. What do you think about what in the world's going on today? Literally, in the world. What's going on? Where's it heading? Asking questions. Listening. Eating together. Sharing. Serving. Again, bless the Lord by knowing that God has called us individually to be people of purpose. Frederick Buechner said this, the place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meets. That's finding his purpose. How about being a goody two-shoes? You believe that's a part of the thing? Why is that such a negative? You ever wonder about that? Is there a clock around here?
Yeah, up next to TV on your left.
No, here.
Wrong way.
This way.
Behind you.
You're getting cold. You're getting warmer. There you go.
Should be up there.
That's all right. What time is it?
11:15.
Oh, we got plenty of time. We'll have time for some Q&A, right, Bill? Did you want that afterwards?
Yeah. Keep talking.
Did you say cut it short?
Keep going anywhere.
Keep talking.
Keep going. Okay, good. Goodness is something that the body of Christ, it's a part of our ministry. What does it mean to be good? Certainly be justified by faith. He makes us good, right? Theologically. How about practically? not just positionally with the Lord, but practically, what does it mean to be good? Peter, in a sermon in Acts 10:38, says this, that he, that is Jesus, went around doing good and releasing people from the power of the devil. Lord, help me to be good. It's not just a trite cliche. Help me to, in terms of my ministry, my actions, to be empowered by you so that I can reflect that. Peter later says in his first letter, chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, pages 69 and following, that the eyes of the Lord, verse 12, are on the righteous. His ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. What do you do then? Well, verse 11 says, you turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. How about that for a prayer daily? It's real simple. Lord, because of your grace, I want to be seen as good so that I can do good. Seen as good so I can do good for your glory and for your honor. So that's a quickie, right? I don't know what the difference. I think at my funeral I'd say, that's, you hear that a lot. Well, he was a good person.
She so you think that's going to happen for you?
She was, I'm hoping. But better is, man, the Lord, you can see the Lord's goodness, even in Bill's life. How about the next metric? What would it be like in terms of Bethany Friends Church to look at my life and say, well, if everybody was like that, well, how well would this church be functioning? How well would we be doing? Good deeds. The next one is hospitality. This is one of my favorites. Practice community. Practice community. Did the New Testament church do that? They didn't have beautiful buildings like this or a nice plot of land. In Peter's day, they met in houses. Church with nice chairs and comfortable stuff, you know? But they brought people to their house. I think it's noteworthy to look at 1 Peter 4:19 and get his advice. It's relevant for today. He says the end of all things is near. Page 78. The end of all things is near. You ever feel like that today?
Yeah.
Man. Start reading Daniel in the book of Revelation. I taught on Revelation one Wednesday when I was in Florida. I don't like Revelation. It's kind of scary. And I don't know all the right answers. That's what really But Jesus does. I know it's God's word. You're looking at me like I'm a heretic. And I love the end of the story. I read the end and I think it'll all pan out. Pan theology, it'll all pan out in the end. We win, right? So I'm good with that. But here's what Peter says, because the end of all things is near. They honestly thought that in their day, you know, man, the Lord's going to return soon here because it's got to. It's crazy. But the practical advice is in verse 9. Therefore, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. I like that, without grumbling. Unbelievers, yeah. Wait a minute, without grumbling. I'll say, oh yeah, I got to do that, I guess. Ought versus want. Without grumbling. Hospice is the word there for hospitality. Being a lover of people. Evaluate, again, let's look at the metrics and do the little checklist today. How am I doing personally in terms of hospitality? Does everything have to be just right in my house before I have somebody in? No, man, they just felt free in the first century, and I pray now to just have a sense of welcomeness. The welcome mat was out for people. So practice community. Here's how we do that, I think, in the church. We call them life groups. I was in charge of them for a while down in Florida. It's a group of people that gather together consistently to study the Word, pray together, be accountable to one another, and serve and minister. That's called community, a community church group. Do you have something like that that you're involved in consistently on a weekly basis? You know, I'm praying that as we think about being a lover of people, we know that Jesus modeled that, didn't he? And if it was good for Jesus, his prayer life, he had three people, right, he invested in, James, John, Peter, his three faves. He had 12 that he spent time with, serious time, discipling, instilling his mission into them. The thing we ask today for us is, are we involved as a church and community? Is there a real life community? I think there is. I sense it. It's where we care about each other, where we encourage each other without grumbling. I got to go to group. Here's the final thing, then we'll have some questions and answers if you got anything. Being a helper. How many like that? Any helpers here? The gift of helps actually is one of the largest percentage-wise gifts of the Spirit in the church today. A lot of people have the gifts of service and helps. We talked about gifts, right, a couple weeks ago. When I was a kid, I used to help my dad. This is not what I'm talking about here, okay? There, hold that flashlight right there. No, you're not, hold right! Now, we're not talking about just being a gopher. I was a gopher, too, for the company that my wife's dad ran, a construction company. Go for this, go for that, you know what that. I was a helper. You know, our kids would say, oh, your daddy's a little helper, your mama's a little helper, you know. That's not what, this is a very significant thing that sees the need and engages back to the blessed, serves to meet the need. Here's how it looks in the scripture. Being a helper. I'm looking at 1 Peter 5, 12 through 14. 1 Peter 5, 12 through 14. He wraps up his first letter with this. And it's just not a passing little, oh yeah, you know, pat on the back. This is significant. He says, with the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. Everything is written. Stand fast in the word. This is the word. She who is in Babylon, probably a synonym for Rome, the evil empire. Today we might have other nations that would fit that bill. But she who is in Babylon, she who, maybe the church there, maybe his wife, who's traveling with him, we don't know. Peter was married. But she's chosen together with you, sends her greetings, whoever that is, and so does my son Mark, John Mark. And greet one another with a kiss of love. Back to hospitality. That was a dating verse that I used with my wife Nancy at Milano University. I didn't say the Bible. It says greet one another with a kiss, you know. But it's probably more, come up, Bill, I'll demonstrate the color. No, okay. You know, one of those cheeky ones, not so much. But anyway, we don't need to unpack that. Where are you going, Chris? But Silas, who's he? He's a faithful guy. He's a behind-the-scenes guy that matters. What he is doing matters for the kingdom, for Peter. He probably helped him edit these letters. He would play delivery post guy, you know, FedEx guy or Amazon guy, whatever you like, UPS guy. And then he talks about Mark again. He probably gave much of the information for the first gospel, Mark, the earliest gospel, Mark. He probably relayed that to him and they became close and he was probably able to see, man, Mark, you did good on this. You know, you got it right. You got the chronology right. You did well. So he's affirming the gift of helps, the ministry of helps in the church. I think helps is so essential, again, to realize that the ministry is too big a deal for one person. It's everybody's job. It's your job. Can I see your eyes? If you're a Christian, it's your job. It's my job to look through the checklist and to say, you know, How would we be if everybody was as committed as I am in these areas, you know? How healthy would the church be? Or not be? I'm not saying that to try to be judgmental or whatever. I'm just asking us to ask the Spirit to hold us accountable today. Because we're on a mission. You're on a mission. We have a vision. Bill and I were talking this week about a vision to see this area. It's becoming very developed in some places, right? When you look out the street going by this car, so many of them need Jesus. Zipping by. Down that way, that way. Lord, help us to be your people, called, equipped, priesthood of believers, Lord, so that we might declare your glory. So that we might declare who you are, who you've made us to be, and what you've done in our lives. It's just a simple story. I was just a lost little druggy hippie. Lord, when you pulled me out of the pit. Lord, when you've helped me to understand what I needed. And Lord God, thank you for the interlude that reminds us of reality. God, you're here right now with us. Touch us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
That's not my cue for a solo, is it? All right, well, let's pause, Bill. However you want to work this, do you want to have questions about anything from the book?
You guys have some questions for him?
If you have answers, that'd be great, too.
We have a question right there.
Yes, young man. Tell me if your name.
Xerxes.
Xerxes, okay.
You said being good, doing good. I was reading in, I think, Titus the other day. It calls us to be devoted to doing good.
Yeah.
What are those actions that you can describe that we are to be doing?
Okay, thank you for that, Xerxes, that question. I think you told me before the service you were studying the Apostle Paul, right?
Yes.
Think about what he said in Galatians chapter 5 about the works of the flesh. You know, all the things kind of I talked about, that Peter talked about as well. But then the fruit of the Spirit. You know, what's the loving thing to do here? God, show me how to love that person. Maybe I have a problem with them. A relational rift with, help me to do good, to be good in that. And then it goes on, love, faithfulness, help me to be patient, persevering. Are you a patient person? Come on!
No.
Thank you. Neither am I. But Lord, develop those in me so that when I react, I don't react with my fleshy stuff. I act in the Spirit. Love, faithfulness, goodness, throughout the gift or the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians. So, I don't know how that helps.
So your answer is acting out of the Holy Spirit in what has been spilled out or spelled out for us. Those are the acts of goodness.
Yeah, I would say so. You see, God puts, it's not just a works thing. God gives us the grace of being declared righteous, that is good in the Lord's sight, by the cross, the blood. And then he empowers us. That's another chapter that I didn't talk about. He empowers us then through the Spirit that indwells us, that sanctifies us, to walk, Peter puts it this way, even as he walked. There you go. We got the little WWJD wristbands, right? And those are cool. Those are all right. But really, when I ask that question, what would Jesus do? I need to realize I don't have the power to do that apart from his Holy Spirit's indwelling and leading. Does that make sense? Does everybody agree with me on that?
Amen.
Wow. So Lord, give me your enduring and power. Thank you for that question, though. Yes?
All right, so the writer of the Gospel of Mark, it's understood that he got all that from Peter, all right? It's kind of like the Gospel of Peter.
We don't know how much, but yeah.
Is that the same Mark who left Paul in his ministry, and then had to be brought back in by Marcus, the other guy.
I'll stand corrected if I need to with the resident historian over here, but yeah, I think that's the guy that Barnabas and Paul writes, you know. Am I right on that, Bill?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good. What did Paul say? Man, the dude can't cut it. He's being a big baby. Paul, that's my paraphrase, by the way. That's not.
Close enough.
But yeah, then Barnabas, son of encouragement, love that. That's doing good. You know, he says, no, come on, man. And so, yeah, the fruit of that, that whole deal was John Mark is salvaged, right? Grace. Love it. Thanks for asking that. Any churchy questions? I used to be a churchy kind of.
Is it your favorite book of the Bible?
I'm sorry?
Is that your favorite book of the Bible?
Favorite book?
Which one?
The Bible, the Paul, the book you're talking about.
I love Mark's my favorite gospel because Mark is real short. Like that. Sorry. And it's very moving, action-oriented. He went here and immediately he did this and that. And he's, you know, it's just all, you know, Mark's my favorite gospel. But then being in this study for the last year of Peter has really, I would say that probably I've learned to appreciate, because I'm a little bit like Peter in terms of my impulsiveness, my ability to open mouth, insert foot.
Never.
Never, no. I have done it a couple times, probably today many times. But yeah, thanks. Peter is probably one of my favorite leaders in the early church. Because he's willing to change too. That's another chapter that we didn't get into. You know, he was willing to say, man, you know what? Jerusalem, I got this deal here. These pagans, these non-Jewish people are, you know, wanting to in on the action. What do we do? Cornelius wants me to eat ham and cheese sandwiches. Can't do that. You like my faithfulness to the scripture?
Yeah, it's close.
God says, that meat's okay. You know, they're okay. How many of you like a good shrimp dinner? Man, I'll tell you, I'm glad for grace. The grace of having shrimp. No? Old Testament. Lobster. Old Testament taboo, you know? Yeah. New Testament, good. I'm sorry, I'm getting silly here. I must have gone too long. Any other questions?
How can we grab these people whizzing by? Would you put a roadblock up? Or,
Prayer, yeah. And honestly, I really think it's all about every person here realizing your call to say, who's one person that, Lord, you're leading me to invest in. Again, it's a matter of outside the walls, being involved. My sister back here, she showed me her ministry. That's so exciting. Mm-hmm. Prayer bearers, you know?
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. How can you make an impact in your everyday world, right? How can you do that at work? And it's so exciting, man, when you have someone come to the Lord and they're new in your church and getting baptized or whatever, you know, and they just are excited about the faith. Some of these younger faces and people around here, that's just so exciting. That's, I think, the synergy, the momentum. You have to ask, I think, first of all, though, who is our target audience? Who around here are we looking to share God's love with? I don't know. I mean, a part of that's here. What you've got here is probably what's going to come
a lot of it
through
is
here.
Out there.
Yeah.
We love each other, and we serve each other, and we share because we're a family. You know, we are the body of Christ of Bethany. But our target needs to be the people driving down the road who don't know Jesus, the people at the mall who don't understand Jesus, don't understand the freedom and the love And the salvation that comes with knowing Jesus Christ. And I think that's our job as disciples.
Yeah, I think what we have to do in terms of how we do ministry, you know, you're geared to do ministry in a very casual, welcoming way, lowering the defense mechanisms. You know, I think probably you're going to reach people that are comfortable with that. Some people are more high church ritual, you know, want to do everything. You know, again, it's not a matter of methodology. There's no right or wrong methodology. It's a matter of how do we reach out to those people? There are often people that we work with that we...
That's the hardest part of it.
There are often people in our family.
All of these things...
Wait. Did you hear what they said? There are often people in our family that maybe we don't alienate, or they've alienated us or something like that, you know? And so...
Let's say within our family, I think it starts with us, that there has probably been hurt feelings, different things in our family life that has happened. And I have found it so easy if we just go back and just offer some apology, some reconciliation with someone, even though they were the one that may have been in the wrong, we're not about right and wrong, and about the love of Christ. And if we don't show it, then they won't know it. And they'll just see us as a hypocritical bunch of Christians that say you love God. And that's been said, you know what I mean? And it wasn't, you know, most of the time it's not our intention.
Yeah.
But we don't see ourselves as others see us.
Thank you.
I was siding with you when you were talking about how you're impetuous and all that stuff and how you have to think and pray. But in my own house, I don't do that as well. You know, with somebody else, you think, okay, this is a ministry talk. But then you say stupid things to your own wife or your own kids and everything. And the other one is, I suggest you do a little inflation. Don't pray for one. Pray for three. Why? Because when I was praying for one, I was driving that person crazy. So if I pray for three, I can rotate. And you know, sometimes you don't want to be or think about that. You know, whatever. So,
three, that's spiritual. Trinity. That's good. Get three on your list. You probably have more than that, right?
A little bit of a
fun. But I think, you know, I mean, we have a Super Bowl Sunday coming up, right? Not just football. That's gone, right?
Yeah.
We have a thing called Easter happening. That's the church's Super Bowl. Why not just, number one, think about how we can gear our service and prepare people that we're inviting to know what they're needing to expect, right? And that was always, for us, the Christmas season. It's another day, again, in the church calendar that people are more comfortable, attuned to listening to the gospel, to being open to the gospel. Thanks, sir.
Walk down this aisle. Nancy, if you'll join us right here. If we'll gather around and pray for these two.
Thank you. You might be faithful.
There's nobody without you.
That's for sure.
This is Chris and Nancy, if you're thinking about their names. We can pray for them, and then we have two songs to do.
All right.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the Jacksons, Lord, Chris and Nancy, Lord. I see a perfect match here, Lord, because they both strengthen each other, Lord. And I picked Nancy over Chris, but that's okay.
Amen.
I just thank you, Lord, to be with them as they walk this road, Lord. Chris is semi-retired and probably doing more work now than before. And I know that they've had plenty of great and enjoyable things. They've also had some sad things in their lives, Lord, and as we all have. And we just ask you, Lord, to bind them together, Lord, to bless their family, Lord, bless their ministry, Lord. Thank you that they were able to go to Florida and talk down there and come back. Lord, we just ask you, Lord, to help them to keep on keeping on. And thank you for the book that Chris put out, Lord, and I'm sure it was edited by Nancy, and we just ask you, Lord, to lead, guide, and direct them.
Amen. Let's do these two songs.
Thank you all. Sorry, I was the only one. It's been a blessing for us to be here.